Our final speaker before lunch is Lorelei DeSagra, Vice President of Nutrition and Health, United Fresh Products Association, United States of America.
Great, thanks. Good morning, everybody. Thanks. I'm really happy we're now talking about fruits and vegetables. I'm going to talk about policy change, and Robert and I have worked together for a really long time. And I just want to say that the work that we've done at the European Commission and also the work in the U.S., but I think the Commission is even more critically important, hopefully is a model for what you can do in your own countries. Policy change works. Some of us that have been in public health for a really long time are now totally just working on policy change. And I would encourage all of you to join with us in this effort. I'm going to talk about aligning ag policy with public health policy, the case study from the United States. When we're talking about the fresh fruit and vegetable program or school fruit schemes, it's the same thing. It's called different things in different countries. Basically, the policy then and the funding allows for schools to provide a fresh fruit and vegetable snack every day to every kid at school. And it does change behavior. It increases behavior. And it has many influences. It's only one of the policy changes that I'm working on in the U.S. or that, and collectively that we're working on in the Commission. But it is a real model for us. Okay, so the policy goal is how do we secure the significant funding from agriculture to nationally expand the fresh fruit and vegetable program to improve children's health and to reduce obesity. We're talking about a policy change that leads to an environmental change. So again, going back to our first speaker this morning, making the healthy choice the easy choice. In this case, trying to get, looking at within the school food environment, how do we get the junk out? How do we get the healthy foods in? And in this case, making the snack program just about having the increasing the availability of healthy fruits and vegetables. This is who I am. You can read about me. I can also tell you that I left government. I worked in NIH at the National Cancer Institute, where I started working on this program. But I left government so I could really move this program and expand it nationally into the policy arena. So that's an interesting thing, I think, for all of us thinking about leaving academia or leaving government and really aggressively working in the policy area to see these changes. It's a win, win, win. And I think that, you know, it's a win when we can change consumption for children. We're improving children's health, families, schools, communities, agriculture, and public health. But more importantly, when we start to talk to policymakers in agriculture about how to align policies with public health, we have to start by taking them a win-win-win. We can't take them something that's going to be very, very difficult for them to do. So as we begin to engage with policymakers, I would say start with a win-win. And fruits and vegetables, I think, is that win-win. Political champions are really critical. Robert mentioned this. In the U.S., our political champion for this has been Senator Tom Harkin. He's a Democrat from Iowa. There are no fruits and vegetables grown in Iowa. So he's in this purely because he realizes he's totally passionate and committed to improving children's health and really has championed this for many years now. I remember the day that he said to me, okay, you know, you got to go build some political champions over in the House of Representatives. We have two parts of government, our Senate and our House. And we then got Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro from the great state of Connecticut as our political champion in the House. And then we needed more political champions. So as Robert said, you need champions at every level. You also need champions in business. And in public health also to champion this. And then you want them to really help you. When I look at building policy change, I look at how do you build political will. And in the U.S., you build political will one member of Congress at a time. I wish there were shortcuts. I haven't found them yet. But you have to build political will one member of Congress at a time. And there's many ways to do that. And it's exactly what we did at the Commission is we started with DG Agri, DG Sanko. You could say, why didn't we try to ask Sanko for money? Sanko doesn't have any money. That's why we asked agriculture for money. It's similar in the U.S. We asked agriculture for money for this program. So one member of Congress at a time, one member of whatever political system you're in. Policy change also, we talked about champions. requires building public support, the civil society, getting constituents to weigh in with their members of Congress that they want this funding for this program as well. They want, we used, in one case in Oregon, when we were trying to get Oregon funded, we worked with public health advocates in Oregon, and they had 10,000 school children write letters, little artwork with fruits and vegetables to their members of the Oregon congressional delegation saying, we want the fresh fruit and vegetable program. So advocacy at every level directed to members of Congress. Using public health support, we worked with a broad public health group, effective communications, which I'm going to come back to, relentlessly marketing benefits. That's really critical. Relentlessly marketing benefits. Using every legislative vehicle that you have, I'll give you an example, and scaling up, as Robert said, from these programs that we had operating in many different countries. In Europe, we had probably 7 different programs, and none of them could get more money to expand. How did we scale up? We said, let's go to the European Commission. Let's ask for money. Let's do this the right way. So scaling up to policy, to really getting to where we want, and building trust with policymakers. They really look to us as experts. They require a lot of us, and they have to trust us. The ask has to be something you can say at a cocktail party after 2 drinks in 1 sentence. I'm not joking, you guys. I really mean that. So in the EU, our ask was, we want 100 million euros to expand the school fruit scheme to all of the 27 EU countries. 1 sentence. 1 sentence. In the U.S., it was, we wanted $100 million a year in the Farm Bill to expand the fresh fruit and vegetable program to every state in the country. 1 sentence. So you say what the ask is, what you want, and what piece of legislation. It has to be very specific. It has to be actionable. They have to be able to do it. It has to be tied to legislation, and it has to be local and personal. Relentlessly marketing benefits. You can use media to do that, which we have aggressively done. You also need to bring your political leaders into schools to see the program in operation and to talk to children. You need to communicate the policy change in terms of benefits to kids, and you need to, what we have done besides helping out with the congressional briefing or the briefing in Parliament, is we have done a lot of briefings in our Congress on this issue. That's how we got where we are today in terms of significant funding. So we do briefings on Capitol Hill on this issue all the time. Many benefits, to students, to the families, and to the schools. Public health coalitions. Now I want to walk you through how we scaled this up and how we used every legislative vehicle possible to us. So never have blinders on, okay? Never let somebody tell you you can't do this. If we did it in the U.S. and we did it at the European Commission, it's been done in New Zealand, it's been done in British Columbia, you can do this anywhere. I firmly believe that. We started out in 2002. Senator Harkin put $6 million into the 2002 Farm Bill. We do a Farm Bill every 5 years. It sets ag policy for our country. In 2002, $6 million, all of us in public health jumped up and down for $6 million. It funded pilot programs in 4 states, 25 schools in each state. And we started then to work to make sure that those programs were implemented in the most effective way and to market the benefits right away. And 1 Indian tribal organization. So that was 2002, and I'll show you where we've been in 6 years. Then we used the 2004 Ag Appropriations Bill to continue funding the existing states, and we added Mississippi because the chairman of Ag Appropriations in the Senate was from Mississippi. It's all local. Then we used the 2004 Child Nutrition Reauthorization to get the program permanently authorized. We got $9 million in permanent money. Again, all of us in public health jumping up and down for $9 million. And we expanded the program to 8 states and 3 Indian tribal organizations. Okay, but we felt like we're on a roll now. Then we used the FY6 Ag Appropriations Bill to expand the program to an additional, to keep money for the original 8 states, to expand the funding to another 6 states. Each of the 6 states we added was because we went to that member of Congress, like Rosa DeLauro, and said, don't you want this in your state? And we had, you know, the constituents weighing in, the public health groups weighing in. So now we're at 14 states and 3 ITOs, and we use MAPS. I learned this from CDC. MAPS are really powerful. I suggest you do the same. And then we, in the FY7 Ag Appropriations Bill, we actually had funding for national, not very much funding, but Congress said, you expand this, it's so important to expand it nationally, but our country went into a continuing resolution, so it never got implemented. And so then we were focused on the 2008 Farm Bill, which is, you know, from 2002 to 2008. And we really saw the Farm Bill as the opportunity to take the program national with big money. This was not easy. It was not easy at all, because there had never been anything in the Farm Bill that related to public health before. And so we used the Farm Bill to go national, and we succeeded. And this is what the funding looks like in the Farm Bill, $1.2 billion. It's structured in such a way that the program increases every year to maximize public health reach. And so last school year, we had 49 million. We reached approximately 1 million kids. Schools get funded here, so it's a whole school. They get funded for the whole year. This year, we have $72.5 million. We're reaching about 1,800 schools, 1.4 million kids. Next school year, the money becomes available July 1, $101 million. We'll reach more than 2 million students. And then in the school year 2011-12, $150 million. This number then becomes our baseline for the next Farm Bill. So we are in the next Farm Bill. No one is going to get us out. And this becomes our baseline going forward. And where do you think we're going? That's my question. Where do you think we're going? Every elementary school in the United States should be funded for this program. It's Senator Harkin's priority and wish that we focus first on elementary school kids. So once we get every elementary school in the country funded, then we'll go to middle school and high school. In the original pilot, it covered elementary, middle, and high school. So we have goals. This is only one of the policy issues that we're working on. It is transforming the lives of students. Whenever I go into schools, you can see that. The parents come running up to you. My kid never ate broccoli before. It is now the largest school-based environmental change program in the U.S. It's probably the same in Europe with the money from the commission. And it's having a huge impact on kids. And kids tell policymakers, thank you for our fresh fruit and vegetable snack program. I think every policymaker, every member of parliament, every member of Congress, all over the world would like to have constituents and children saying thank you for our fresh fruits and vegetables. So scaling up, we need all of your help to scale us up even beyond. In Canada, it's in British Columbia, but their funding, they're thinking might be tenuous in a year. There's a program in Ottawa, I understand, but what about the rest of Canada since you're all here? And we offer to help you to make this a possibility. We really see making this, when I talk about this, it is a global strategy for increasing children's consumption to fruits and vegetables. So thank you very much.
Okay, again, thank you for all our speakers. What we are going to do, we're going to break for lunch now at 12 o'clock. And please be back by 1 o'clock, and we're going to start the panel discussion on the last six speakers right at 1 o'clock for the first half hour. And bring your questions. Thanks very much.